The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Simmer, we got an exciting episode today.
Yeah, two brand new specialists.
Yeah, we got Dr. Josh Lee and Dr. Chandler Gruner. We're 13 days into the job for Josh.
Yep.
And 4 days for Chandler. So, guys, how y'all settling in?
We're doing good. Hit the ground running. So, excited to be here and looking forward to being here for a while. So,
drinking from the fire hose on all the information?
Oh, yeah. That fire hose got a lot of pressure. But trying to take baby sips.
Yep, same here. Just kind of getting acclimated a little bit. And so, I have a little background in extension, but, you know, learning a new system and kind of figuring out everything and the different issues here in Alabama.
Is it hotter here than where you were?
Way hotter. I was previously located about 60 minutes south of Canada.
Oh, wow.
And so it was pretty cold. And so the temperature out right now is about 10 degrees warmer than it ever would get there.
Yeah. And it's actually not that bad right now, Summer.
Yeah. I think this is not bad.
88.
Hey. As long as it's not above 90 or above 95.
Yeah. Well, of course, Chandler, you were from Missouri. Correct?
So, yeah. So, a little bit of background on me. So, I grew up in Missouri, and I went to University of Missouri for undergrad. Then I went to University of Arkansas for my master's degree, and then I did my PhD at Georgia. So, I spent 4 years at Georgia, 1 year at North Dakota State University, but I was at a research center called North Central Research Extension Center in Minot, North Dakota. So, like I said, about an hour south of Canada, about 2.5 hours away from Montana.
You weren't really up there long enough to get unacclimated.
I did one winter, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, you're a South Georgia boy.
I'm a South Georgia boy. That's true. I grew up in Perry, but just above South Georgia, but I lived in Tifton for a good while.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, we sure are excited to have y'all on. Simmer, I don't think we have any big agenda with this episode.
No, I think this is a great opportunity to introduce our two new extension specialists. And, you know, I'm excited about the other thing I'm excited about. We have more people now to get on the podcast.
That's right. Yeah, right? Yeah. That's exactly right.
I think one thing, I know you kind of gave a little quick on your degrees and stuff. It would be good for our audience to tell what area are they here in their extension responsibilities and stuff like that.
Sure. So I'll go ahead and start. So I'm hired as the extension cotton specialist here at Auburn University. Just a quick background, since Chandler gave his, I'll give a quick brush up on mine. So I attended Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton, where I earned my bachelor's in agriculture with focus in crop production. In that time, I worked for a crop consultant, which really fueled my interest in large-scale row crop production, which led me into a cotton interest. With that, I was a student worker at the University of Georgia Tifton campus, and that led me into a master's program where I focused in the area of cotton physiology. From there, I didn't have enough school, I guess, and decided to pursue a PhD program. In that PhD program, I focused on the areas of cotton agronomics, cotton physiology, and irrigation management. So a good wide variety of stuff, and I'm really looking forward to applying what I learned during college and all my experiences here to the growers and producers of cotton in Alabama.
Great.
Yeah, so just a little more detail about my background. So like I said, I went to University of Missouri, so my background's in plant science, and then my master's is in soil fertility, and then my PhD mixed soil fertility, soil health, and soil conservation together.
You work with Matt?
And so my PhD advisor was Dr. Levi, and so my main project kind of focused around living mulch and using that continual perennial ground cover. So that's a lot of my background, kind of some of the interests I actually have working here.
Okay. Interestingly, I overlapped with both of y'all during my time in Tifton. I know you and I interacted a lot, Josh.
Oh, even, yeah.
So Josh is in the same lab as my wife. She did her PhD.
Oh, yeah.
In the same with Dr. John Snyder. And I actually, Matt, Levi, and I, we advised students together, actually, and worked on some projects together. I guess we just never crossed paths, you know, while I was there. I've seen your project, though, in Midville when it was there in cotton.
And so, Josh, I think we can all guess you're going to focus on cotton.
Of course.
Right. So, Chandler, what you're all row crops and maybe some other stuff as well?
So, yeah, anything with soil, so primarily row crops. And then a little bit of urban and stuff like that. And yes, questions come up about that. And, you know, there's some urban gardeners that like to use some soil health practices. So I'll kind of cover some of that information. But my main focus would be row crops, cover crops, and then also my soil fertility background. I have a strong interest in soil fertility. Like some of the nutrients I'm interested in is like potassium, phosphorus, sulfur, and some of them ones not as much, you know, thought about, but, you know, growing issues that are popping up out there. I know sulfur is kind of one of the things that's kind of tough to test in the soil. You can't actually properly test it through soil tests. You get a number, but it's not going to always be super reflective of what's actually available and what's there for the plant. So I have some strong interest starting next year of doing sulfur trials out there for various crops, kind of so we can kind of understand some of them rates. So we can do that classical agronomy, putting different rates out there, figuring out what rate we need for different ones, and working with Aeros and some others, and so different crops like that. And then also working with Josh over here with cotton projects and stuff like that. I know there's a lot of interest there with some nutrients, and then some of that living mulch, like I mentioned, like we worked on in Georgia, it's been worked on for maybe almost 20 years over there from different aspects of it, but bringing some of that over here to Alabama, kind of adapting to the system here.
See, one thing maybe it's so hard, but I don't know how people did it back in the day. Every state you hear about their fertility recommendation stuff, they're like, oh, that was done 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Whoever did it, right? The work and all that. And maybe that generation was tougher or whatever, you know. They did it and they're like, here's what it is. And now we're finding out with the newer cultivars, our probably topsoil has changed in a way, eroded, not eroded in parts of the field, other environmental factors that we may not be seeing the same response or something, right? I think there's like need to almost refine or redefine all the ranges of the fertility and all that, but it's just like everyone I hear about, they're like, it's just so much work, you know. I guess, is that true? And what does it take to really do all that? Is it like 5 years of research and then you can say, hey, we have these updated for Alabama? Or
So if you think about like Alabama, we have black belt soils, we have coastal plain soils, we have Piedmont soils. So each one of them is going to have a little bit different than how much organic matter, like that topsoil you're talking about, how much topsoil is there. So all that's going to be influential into how much nutrients are currently present, how much you can hold, the holding capacity. And then so that when you fertilize, how much is going to stay there, how much is already there, how much is going to be tied up, how much will be available at the right time. So all that's playing into it. So that kind of helps, you know, influence the numbers you need a little bit. And so sometimes people like, oh, I've got good organic matter, so maybe they can kind of count on it being held a little bit better. But if you're in that sandy coastal plain soil, it's like you're going to need a little bit higher rates because it's not going to be held in place. So in order to the step-by-step to go out there and kind of make them rates, so some of that work I was doing in my first job after my PhD was doing sulfur. And so there we can't test the soil as well. So for sulfur, we purely just got to go out there and put different rates. We do soil samples just so we kind of know what's going on, but we don't get the full perspective. And then we know organic matter, soil texture, and it's going to take multiple years of data, 3-4 years of data, and then we got to get multiple locations. So if we go to every experiment station plus do some on-farm field trials, cover across the state, you know, I could have a couple of grad students helping me, and it's still going to take a
bunch of student workers.
It's a long process.
We had a little project last year looking at nitrogen rates and how that impacts insect populations in cotton. And embarrassed to say, never crossed my mind a soil sample before. And so we had no differences based on our nitrogen. And then we got to asking, well, yeah, we had corn there last year. And I was like, yeah, well, we probably had a little too much residual nitrogen out there then. So that to say, yeah, it is really complicated. It's not as much as, you know, every field ain't going to be the exact same or whatever.
So the great part about Auburn here is you got some of them, you know, the colors rotation, stuff like that, where they've actually depleted some of these nutrients. And so like phosphorus and potassium and sulfur, you kind of need areas that have been depleted. Sometimes it takes, you know, 10, 20, 30 years to deplete it down so where you can actually get that nice curve so you can see low, medium, and high. Because like you're talking about nitrogen, like phosphorus, potassium may already be at a medium rate, and it's like you're never going to get that low number where a farmer may be facing that on their field, that low number, and they, you know, we don't have a good recommendation for them because we didn't have that soil sample. So the great thing about Auburn here is they had the foresight to start establishing that stuff years ago and keep it going. So now I have that opportunity to go out there and start working with that stuff to help with, you know, adding some more numbers in there. And they do update them numbers every so often. They have been updating them, but it just takes a lot of work to keep them going. And then, you know, there's over time we've changed from replacement to just profitability models. We've changed our models and like how much do you care? Like if you think about simple nitrogen, like are you just trying to purely replace everything you're using, or are you just trying to get a maximum yield, you know, profitability versus yield? So with urea going up and up in price, there is a tipping point that might be different than maximum yield, like maximum profit tipping point. So that might be a different number. So that's another you know, updates that can go into the model is how do you want to model it? Do you want to do it based on the price of fertilizer, or do you want to do it based on max yield? You might get another 2 bushel, but if you spent, you know, extra 20, 30 bucks in nitrogen, it's like, that wasn't worth it at all.
Yeah. Are you going to focus on some main row crops, or is it, or kind of your area is just like all crops or even forages or other stuff, or what is kind of your cropping?
So I want to kind of divide into two directions. So like a soil fertility nutrient cycling, and that'll focus on like cotton, peanuts, corn, soybeans. I would like to do a little bit of safflower.
So row crops, man.
Row crops and sesame and some of the other little minor crops, help get them some recommendations where they may be lacking in some of the areas that are relevant here in Alabama. But then also do a little bit of like forage and cover crops and some of that other brought in together is like another area. And that would be where some of that horticulture and stuff and some of that land where it's not, you know, it's that extra 2-3 acres you have in the field that you're not using for everything. Can we put a full season cover crop out there that gets you some kind of value and actually is helping build that soil? Why are you not using it for cash crop? Mm-hmm. Is it because it's got an issue? Let's see if we can improve that soil and turn it into good profitable land for you.
Josh, what all crops you gonna work on?
I'm the cotton specialist, so I got a favorite crop. So
you can't pick, right?
I can't pick. I got a favorite, so definitely gonna be working in cotton. So looking forward to that.
What are some of the things you're gonna focus on?
I know one thing.
Okay.
I want to hear Josh, if he says it though.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm definitely working on this. We're going to work on this Jacin. I'm going to try to figure this thing out. This is week, you know, getting out, starting as a new specialist. This has been a steep learning curve here.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. It's been really fun. I appreciate, you know, Scott, you letting me ride with you and learn as much as I can.
Yeah.
So that's probably definitely one of the areas of focus, of course. But just in general, while I was at Georgia, I did have some opportunities to work on some deer damage projects. So I know mm-hmm. that's a big thing with our growers, especially here in Alabama, with deer damage. So I've got a few ideas and hoping to implement those, along with working with some plant growth regulator work, mainly looking at timings, rates, and maybe introduce some different products. I've had some folks ask, you know, what if I use this, you know, this plant growth regulator versus that one, trying to make some good recommendations. And, you know, it's a little bit hard on these growth regulators. It's really dependent on many factors, and I wish I could sit here and give you a silver bullet answer on how much rate to put, but it's really dependent on the system. With that, you know, I'm going to be traveling around the state, so I'm going to learn more and work more with producers and sort of and listen in and see what their needs are and address their needs with projects that are meaningful and impactful.
Okay, great, great. Well, we're excited to have you, both of y'all, you know, contributing not just to, you know, our Alabama agriculture, but also being part of our agronomy team. I think you both bring some of the things we're missing right now, you know, especially collaboration wise and all that. I have found since I moved, last year this round time I was a new person, you know, in a way, but I found our team to be very engaging and productive in a way. You know, you can really have a good time while working and being able to get out, visit growers, and being able to learn. And our growers also, right? Like, they're awesome to work with.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I did a
yeah.
bunch of on-farm trials this year for my stuff, and every grower you work with, like, they're like, yeah, just come and whatever you want to do, you know, we'll do.
Sometimes they want to do more than you
yeah.
can do.
Yeah, than you can do. So.
And we've been, it's been 2 or 3 years since Audrey Gamble went into research and teaching, I think. So we've had a big gap there with you, Chandler, and we're excited to finally have you here. And I know you're going to do a lot. And then Josh, I guess Steve Brown, it's been a year now, a little over a year since he stepped down. So these are two, in my opinion, very, very critical positions for our extension team. And so we're glad that you two are here and that you're going to be taking leadership on some stuff for sure.
Yeah, what's the very short-term goal? What's for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the year for me would be learning everything I can about the Jacid, thanks to Scott. Thank you, Scott. And working on defoliation trials. So
yeah, because you still have time to put those on.
Yep,
and get some.
So working on those, going to get some rates and that kind of stuff, some products. So reaching out to folks and trying to put several trials across the state of Alabama, get some data out of there before the end of the season.
Chandler.
So for me, it would be visiting farmers and county, or not county agents, but region agents, and so different people like that, kind of seeing what their needs are. I know soil fertility has been something that's already been brought to me in my first, you know, 3-4 days here. like sulfur, potassium, nitrogen rates like that. I know that's been brought to me. And so some of cover crop dynamics, I know them are some questions, but then kind of diving a little bit deeper, what exactly is that? Which crops are the most important? And then setting up them trials and getting everything kind of rolling for the springtime, as for me, a lot of that spring applied nutrients. And so getting that all kind of running. And then also we'd be building out the soil health demonstration trailer. So I've had one previously at my job. And so I'd be bringing one to Alabama. And so this would contain like water, wind erosion, soil fertility. Like, you know, we can actually take plants around and show rooting structures and how it's impacted by different nutrients and stuff like that. So getting the truck and the trailer and all that set up this fall. And so that way in the springtime, we get the fine tuning done with that. So next summer when field days roll around, we'll be able to roll out to all the field days, and we'll be able to do pop-up field days at different farmers' fields throughout the season, showing trials that I've set up. We can go out there and have different producers see these things, and we can bring it to you. You don't have to worry about trying to come and find us. We can go in different areas throughout the state and bring you some of these demonstrations that sometimes may be challenging for you to get to. Maybe the timing doesn't work out for you to make that field day. We're going to look at make some additional stops along the way for setups.
I remember seeing some of that in when you interviewed. That was really cool stuff. That was neat. So I'm glad you're going to do that here. That's one thing I always get jealous of with insects at like field days and stuff is like you can't see them.
Did you take some insects with you, man?
No. But you can't see them. You know, you can see
weeds. Well, you don't want to spread them, right?
No, you do not. But you can see weeds. You can see nitrogen stuff or recover crops and, you know, help with moisture or whatever. But you don't see bugs unless you walk out in the field. Nobody wants to do that in August. Trust me, I've asked them. So I'm glad you're going to bring that. That's pretty cool. And Josh, he doesn't know it, but he's going to help on the Jacids too, because we got to figure out what cover crops they like and don't like.
Oh yeah. That'll be part of the trailer for sure.
Yeah. This trailer would be a great resource because we could, you know, me and Josh can roll out to a field. We can talk about that. We'll have, you know, big TV on there, so we can blow up pictures of these insects so people can see them a little better if they're having a hard time and they don't want to walk out in the field. We'll have, you know, big canopy tents. Get you under the shade so you don't have to cook out there in the sun.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told him at the field day at Tennessee Valley. David Harkins asked me, he said, "You bring a tent to put out your stop?" I said, "There ain't no shade in the cotton field. You just got to stand in the sun and bear with it."
Yeah, so you both are in the crop and soil science department. Are your profiles up yet?
Yep, they're getting there now. We're still in the process of getting everything together.
I was going to say, someone listening, you're like, "I've got a cotton question for Josh and the soil fertility for Chandler," you know, and they might want to do some Google search and find out what your phone and email and all that is.
Sure. I'm sure that we can put this below the podcast, too, just in time's sake. So
okay.
I'm sure that we can do that. People can reach out if they have questions, for sure.
Okay. Scott, what else you want to cover? Got any burning questions for them?
Should have prepared some fun questions so we could get to know their personalities a little bit better.
Should do, what did they do, the fast speed rounds?
Speed dating or whatever.
Ask question, you got to answer.
Rapid fire. Yeah, first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
John,
which crop you like the most?
Cotton. That'd be easy.
Chandler, which crop you like the most?
Actually, cotton also.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, good. We're going to get along
We're going to need some cotton plates to put on our vehicles now.
Yeah.
You can't back off. You know, once you said that, you got to show it.
That's right. Just got another picture of Jacids in a new field that we hadn't found them in yet. So, there we go. This is, we might just mention that real quickly. I don't know when this will come out, but we're recording this on Thursday, August the 21st. August the 20th will go down as Jacid Day, for the day that will live in infamy. We're dealing with this thing. If you're listening to this and working cotton in South Alabama, you're probably aware of it by now. But you know, this is an invasive insect that showed up this year, and it's starting to really show up now in Alabama. It's in over 40 counties in Georgia. But just know we're working on it, and hopefully we know a lot more when this comes out than we do today when we're talking Simmer. But this is,
as of now, what are some of the recommendations?
I hesitate to even say.
Okay.
I mean, Josh has heard me say this probably 15 times today since we rode to Bruton this morning. But I mean, sometimes it changes by the hour what we're recommending. When somebody else gets some observations from a trial in, or you know, we get phone calls from somebody who did something and it did or didn't work, and it's a very dynamic thing, and it makes me hesitate to really put out anything In terms of management recommendations, because you don't want to be wrong the next day. But, you know, as far as what we're looking for, it's a little bitty critter, 1 to 2 millimeters in length. There's a lot of different leafhoppers out there. Potato leafhopper's one that people have seen. It looks very similar, except it's got two black dots on its wings. The adult does. The immatures do not, but they look similar to the adult, just no wings. Damage symptoms look like potassium deficiency. They look like spider mites. They look like some kind of weird herbicide, something going on out there. And then you start flipping leaves over in the upper 5 nodes of the canopy, and they're just everywhere. So it's not good, Simmer.
Not good.
It's not good.
All right. Well, I think what we can do, since you said you'll have more information here over the next 2 or 4 weeks,
or tomorrow.
Yeah, as needed.
So we're putting information up on Facebook, on the Alabama Crops Facebook page, the Wiregrass Agronomy Facebook page is putting information out. I'm putting it on mine. The Alabama Insects blog, putting up stuff there, and the Syngenta Pest Patrol hotline. So we're trying to put out, and as we learn new things that we don't think will change that much, we're updating it. If you find it in your county, please reach out to your local extension agent and let them know. We're trying to track just where all this thing is. I suspect it's in more places than we know right now. So that's my PSA.
Okay. Well, the other thing, so you guys are going to be going around the state this fall and early spring. So if you guys see our new specialist, please make sure to come say hi to them. Tell them what you want them to work on. You know, I think it's always good. And that's one thing I love by extension in a way is you go, you're talking to farmers and suddenly they say something and you're on the way right back home, you're thinking about a project.
Yep.
You know, because that's why we do the research we do, is to solve some of those problems or issues.
You know, some of our research counterparts can spend a 30-year career on one thing.
Yeah.
And we're doing 14 things in a day. You know, it's just different. But it's nice that, you know, what we do is guided by the farmers and consultants and scouts or whoever's out there in the industry seeing what's happening in the real world every day.
Yep. All right.
Anything else, guys? Any other parting shots before we hop off here?
I think we're okay. Just glad to be here and looking forward to meeting everybody and work, you know, getting around to the state. Looking forward to these conversations and these interactions.
And we'll, like they said, we'll have their information hopefully in our podcast notes and their email and phone number, so that way if anybody's going there, they want to contact or reach out to them, they can reach out.
Yep.
There.
All right, guys, we'll appreciate your time. Always good to visit, and again, excited you two are here, Chandler and Josh, and I guess we'll be back with another episode soon. Thanks.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.